You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CICK News, the Northern BC Energy Dialogue Project is making its way across Northern BC right now to speak with people about how rural BC is going to address future energy needs. This is all part of the Accelerating Community Energy Transformation Initiative, which is led by researchers from the University of Victoria, the University of Northern British Columbia, and the Northern British Columbia Climate Action Network. So far, the project has hosted community sessions in Burns Lake, Smithers, and Terrace, and more are coming up in northeastern BC. To hear from the public about their concerns and ideas for local energy solutions in rural communities. Today, I speak with Dr. Kara Shaw, one of the researchers with the Northern BC Energy Dialogues Project.
My name is Kara Shaw. I'm a professor in the School of Environmental Studies at the University of Victoria. And I'm the co-lead alongside my colleagues, Dr. Tamara Krachenko, and from UVic, and Dr. Sinead Early from UNBC. We're co-leading this project called the Northern Regional Energy Dialogues Project.
Great, Kara. Thanks so much for being with us here on CICK. That's exactly what I wanted to jump into right away. What is the dialogue series, the regional energy dialogue series that you've been hosting and putting on across the Northwest, across Northern British Columbia? Tell us about the project itself.
Yeah, so this project arose from, the University of Victoria has a large research project called Accelerating Community Energy Transformation that's really focused on how can we accelerate the shift to clean energy across particularly smaller and rural communities, because there's been a lot of focus on urban areas and a lot of research on urban areas. And as folks in the North know, a lot of times the kinds of solutions that are developed around energy transitions in urban areas are not appropriate for more rural areas or for more northern areas or for different climates. And so there's a, you know, this project in general, the big project arose from the fact that we need different kinds of solutions. And then our specific component of this project, the Regional Energy Dialogue part, arose because Sinead and Tamara and I all kind of have experience working in rural and northern communities, and we have seen this extensive pattern of solutions being presented to northern communities that aren't actually responsive or attentive to the priorities and needs of those communities. And so we wanted to make sure that before, or, you know, alongside this big project kind of trying to help facilitate transformations in energy transformations in rural communities, that we actually heard from communities about, you know, kind of what priorities these communities have, what their challenges that they're facing, what kinds of capacity or help they might need or desire, or, you know, just something to ground this work in actual community experiences. So with that desire, we thought the best thing we could do is actually just to get out and listen to what communities had to say. So we started this project, and we're in phase one right now. So there's a three-phase project, but we actually don't know what we're doing in phases two or three because it depends on what happens in phase one. So phase one is these community-level conversations. So any community, we started in Northwest BC, but we're moving across Northern BC more generally. Any community that wants to host a community-level conversation about energy and their energy futures, we've created some materials to support those conversations. And we can sometimes go and help facilitate that if that's what's desired. And so we've had about six of those conversations to date. And then those are kind of feeding into a conversation. We just had our first regional conversation in Terrace a couple weeks ago. And the regional conversations invite people from those community conversations together to think about if those are the specific sort of needs, opportunities, desires, challenges at a community level, what's the place for regional collaboration potentially to address those needs and desires and priorities? So that's what we're planning on doing. We've held the Terrace regional conversation, and then we're going to shift, I think, probably to the Northeast next and have some community level conversations and then a regional conversation there, and then sort of move our way around the region, really kind of following people's energy and, you know, what communities want to work with us, what communities want to have these conversations.
Kara, you mentioned one thing there. I just want to ask you about the solutions piece. What kind of solution ideas are you hearing from people?
Yeah. So I would say there's sort of five big themes that have come up from our community conversations to date. And then those have led us into some preliminary areas for collaboration. So those are more the kind of solutions areas. And the biggest, and again, I just want to emphasize, this is all still preliminary. We've only heard from a limited number of communities. So we're still going to be learning and advancing our learning for the next, you know, several months. But I would say the biggest area of need right now, or desire for collaboration and solutions, is around building industry capacity to support clean energy transitions in ways that support community economic development. So we hear everywhere where we've gone so far, we've heard that there are people who would like to be taking action to advance clean energy solutions, whether that's through doing retrofits to increase the energy efficiency of their houses, or installing a heat pump, or maybe adding renewable energy array to their houses. Those are more individual solutions. Then there are also broader solutions neighborhood-wise, like desires to reuse potential waste heat from industrial processes more effectively, reduce waste. There's kind of all these things, there's all these desires. And one of the main blockages is there aren't enough trained professionals located in these communities and certified to do this kind of work. And so at the same time, we have colleges like K5T and Coast Mountain Colleges or training institutions that are really needing to focus their efforts on regional economic development. And so we really see the potential for a training and certification program for professionals to work in these industries in the North that's, you know, built in the North, led by the North, that lets young people, or actually anyone who wants a career change, stay in their community to be trained or go only to a nearby community and then have a kind of a pathway into good quality work that supports these kinds of transitions. So I think that's probably the top solution area, you know, that could look a lot of different ways. We don't know what it's going to look like, but certainly seems to be a wide-ranging desire across the communities we've spoken with so far.
I hate to say it, but it's also a societal issue, right? Why is there roughly 2,000 or 3,000 cars in this town when we could be running everybody around on a bus?
You know, I know we've heard, you know, about heat pumps in particular. I know that there's been a big project on Haida Gwaii for some time, you know, retrofitting dozens, if not hundreds, of those homes on Haida Gwaii with heat pumps. So what are you hearing so far from people in community?
Mm-hmm. Those themes have definitely popped up. I think that there's a track record of government programs being designed in ways that aren't appropriate. We have all these subsidy programs around heat pump installation, for example, right now, and there aren't the professionals to do it. Or when local municipalities want to apply for funding to do things, the terms of the government funding are too narrow or too specific and aren't able to be adapted to community needs. So there's certainly lots of roadblocks that we're hearing about. We're also hearing about a lot of desire in communities for these things to happen. The kind of weariness that we've been wanting this for a long time and haven't been able to make it happen, but still a kind of a desire to work on it. To speak to the point about what's happening in Haida Gwaii and also in Bella Bella and Heiltsuk territory, you know, one of the things that's coming out of these conversations is that First Nations, because they have access to different sources of funding and also have more control over the housing stock, have been able to push ahead with learning around some of these technologies, like installing heat pumps and installing solar arrays and things like that, which is great. But there's a lot of learning from those projects that needs to be shared, and so that when other communities start to pick these solutions up, the things that didn't go well in those aren't replicated. And there's a lot of interest. So there's a lot of interest in community-to-community or peer-to-peer collaboration to learn from where these things are actually getting off the ground, what makes them get off the ground, what's been successful, but also how to avoid some of the pitfalls and difficulties that they run into. There's a strong desire for stronger collaboration between local governments and First Nations. It's also pretty clear that who is going to lead these transitions is going to differ in different communities. In some places, I think they might be local government led or Indigenous government led. In other places, they might be led more by private individuals or NGOs or industry. You know, some of there's a definite interest. Some of the people who've been attending our conversations work in the HVAC industry and, you know, are really looking for some support and capacity to apply and advance their learning. So we're hearing a interest from a wide range of sectors within these communities. And also it's pretty clear that there's not going to be a single pathway forward. Like, I think there will be places where regional collaboration can support lots of communities to do different kinds of things, but the priorities in those communities might be a little bit different. And we don't see any problem with that at all.
Where did the dialogue series go from here? And that NorthCan forum, what's this all about? It's a 2-day forum taking place in Prince George. You know, what is that going to bring together? And what do you hope to glean out of that conference?
Yeah, that's a great question. So one of the reasons that we've been able to launch this, our project, the Northern Regional Energy Dialogues Project, is because of the formation of NorthCan, the Northern Climate Action Network, a couple of years ago, and the kind of excellent work that network has been doing to bring people together to sort of have these conversations and start to sort of build capacity. And because that network had started, that's what made us really confident that there was interest in having these dialogues and this conversation. So our project, the Energy Dialogues Project, has kind of been loosely partnered with NorthCan, but NorthCan is a separate network. And the NorthCan Forum is going to bring together, and so they've had, I think this is either their second or third in-person gathering, but they've been having virtual gatherings, I think every 3 months for the past couple of years. So this is kind of their big feature event. And they've brought in a bunch of partners to work with them. I think there's going to be sessions hosted by the LGCAP, I think the Local Government Climate Action Program, which is run, I believe, out of the Climate Action Secretariat. The International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives, which does local environmental work in lots of different places. Northern Health, the Community Energy Association, our project, the Dialogues Project, and the forum itself is just an opportunity for all these different organizations that are either working in this space or bringing capacity to people working in this space to get together with people in the north of BC who want to advance these solutions to sort of hammer things out, you know, figure out what's happening, share learnings, potentially build collaborations and kind of, you know, try to advance these conversations substantially. So at that NorthCan Forum, which is the 29th and 30th in Prince George, and which I believe is open to anybody who wants to attend who has an interest in these issues, at that forum, we'll be doing a half-day workshop. The Northern Regional Energy Dialogues Project will be doing a half-day workshop to sort of summarize what we've done so far and gather people's thoughts on where we're at and get people's ideas for next steps. So that'll be that's a kind of an opportunity to check in on the work we're doing and offer us guidance going forward. And we're really kind of following the energy in terms of where we launch community conversations next. We're reaching out to communities that express an interest in potentially holding a conversation. And then as soon as we sort of get critical mass in a particular region, we'll start to support those conversations. So it's a little bit emergent. We don't have a really clear plan. We're going to go here and then there and then there. It's more who's interested in working with us, and we'll meet that energy and work with whoever that is. And we're happy still to also support conversations in regions where we're already working, like the Northwest. We're still learning. I mean, I think obviously this is a huge region that we're engaging, and we're the diversity of communities we're visiting is substantial. But what our ultimate goal is to support initiatives that are community driven and to try and channel resources to empower those initiatives, you know, to help build capacity. And so not just to be sort of passive observers or documenters of what's happening, but actually to try to connect up communities with resources that they can use to advance these initiatives. So, you know, that's our hope. And I would really encourage anybody who's interested to check out our website, come to the NorthCan Forum, or just reach out to us, because we are really kind of dependent upon and eager to support engagement with communities to advance these issues. So I would just extend that invitation to anybody. And really, thank you for taking the time to talk with me and learn about the project, because it's, I mean, for me, someone who's located in the South, this is just like a such an amazing opportunity to learn more about your communities, to travel up there, to get to know you. You've got a stunning place and really diverse and interesting and exciting communities to work with.
Kara, thank you so much for your insight on this, and definitely we'll be sure to stay in touch, and we'll watch out for any developments in the dialogue series.
Great. Thanks so much.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or check us out on the web at smithersradio.com. CICK News has been made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to my colleague Pam Hassan and all of our roving journalists. I'm Daniel Messick. Thanks for listening.